Good morning. It is 9:08 a.m. on Tuesday, November 26, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. This is a work session on case number PU-18-430, Northern States Power Company, Advanced Prudence, 151.2 megawatt Dakota Range 3 wind facility application. And before we dive into it, we can have staff and legal counsel quickly introduce themselves for the record.
Good morning, Commissioners. Zachary Pelham on behalf of the Commission Advisory Staff.
Patrick Fawn, Commission Staff.
All right. Well, I'll just... For those of you on the line, could you please identify yourself as well for the record?
Zeb Simpson, thanks for sending the call in.
Sounds like maybe Dave. One more just to...
Okay, is there someone else be on the line as well that could identify themselves for the record, please?
This is Dave Cedarquist with Xcel Energy.
Good morning, Dave.
Intuitive.
Good morning.
And is there anyone else? Okay, we'll get started. I made some of the comments at our commission meeting last Thursday, I believe it was. I think that's when we had our last commission meeting. And I've been going back and forth on this. We had a work session on this prior, and we had talked about three options, and then it wound up being an either or on two, and that was to have an order drafted to approve the ADP without conditions, and then another one was drafted with conditions, and then I think what we had settled in is an ADP with conditions. But the third option that I talked about at that work session included just not saying it wasn't prudent, but not saying it was prudent either, which in talking with staff has been something that we have done in the past. So here's my line of thinking, and it'll be a little bit repetitive for those of you that listened in on the Thursday commission meeting, but I just think there are more and more moving parts as we continue to move forward. And I think based on what I have seen and heard, I think it's likely the company will be coming in for a rate increase next year, probably. You know, it could be the application could be submitted even as early as, say, the third quarter. It cannot be, a rate increase cannot go into effect, of course, until January 1st, 2021, because that is how we currently have things set up with NSP. So, but it doesn't mean that they couldn't submit an application before that. I am aware that they've submitted a rate increase application to the Minnesota Commission, and I think that was part of that's one component that got my attention. Here's the one thing that I keep looking at is how does, you know, this one facility, Dakota Range 3, in itself, in terms of total generation, I think it's not a significant portion of the generation that NSP would be utilizing. But at the same time, there's a ripple effect, and I wouldn't say a really high level of comfort in terms of what the ripple effect is with other existing facilities, including Sherco 1 and Sherco 2, which the company has indicated will be going through early retirements, or that they'll be retired early. And I forgot the one sheet, but I believe that our depreciation schedule for Sherco 1 and 2, I think one is, and Pat, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is 2033, and then the other is 2036. But I'd have to double check. I forgot that sheet. But they're in the 2030s in terms of when they will be fully depreciated on our schedule for North Dakota ratepayers. So what do we do with that? Because even a PPA obviously displaces existing resources eventually. And then you also have Mankato Energy Center 2, which that application was withdrawn, but it's all a part of where is the generation going to come from, and if it does drive early retirement of existing facilities that North Dakota ratepayers have been picking up the tab for quite some time, then how do we handle that depreciation? So that's the uncertainty that I have in terms of what is the ultimate ripple effect. And I mean, do we get to a point where, no, we expect Sherco 1 and 2 to operate based on our depreciation schedule, which they're not going to, according to the company's plans. So then we've got that hanging out there in the depreciation end of it. And then I, you know, it's all interrelated, obviously. Then you've got Mankato Energy Center 2, which, even though the application is withdrawn, the company has indicated they're going to purchase it regardless or anyway through a subsidiary of the company. And then that will, in all likelihood, be reentered into the record as a PPA, which already exists for Mankato Energy Center 1 and 2, for that matter. There's already a PPA in place for MEC 2. It was going to be go from a PPA to owned. But the other part is going back to what I said earlier on the rate, potential rate increase request, which I think is highly likely. Dakota Range 3 would not go into operation until Q4 of 2020, which would be, if a rate increase comes in, would be within a few months of when North Dakota customers would actually see the energy savings from Dakota Range 3. So I don't think there's really, I mean, we're talking about a very small amount of time, you know, in terms of limited overlap. We're talking a handful of months in terms of the energy savings and how it would impact North Dakota ratepayers and just being able to reevaluate it through the course of a rate case if that in fact does come in, which I would expect it would, since they've got one on the table now to the east. So I'm just trying to, I think as time goes on, we'll have a better understanding of how this impacts the overall generation fleet for NSP. And my thought is having an order drafted, not saying it isn't prudent, but not saying that it is prudent at this time, that we'll just evaluate it in the next rate case. So I know it's a lot to throw out there, but that's where I'm at on it.
Can you walk through the timing again, Brian, that you just outlined, that when this one is expected to be
in operation?
Yeah.
That's Q4 of 2020.
And Pat, so next year.
Pat, that's correct, I believe.
I don't know.
So where did you come up with, I thought you just said something about the rate savings wouldn't occur till 2023.
No.
Oh, so.
No, I talked about 2033 and 2036 on Sherco 1 and 2.
Yeah, no, not that. But I thought you were saying that this wasn't going to start saving, potentially saving customers money until 2023. But you meant, third quarter 2020 next year?
No, fourth quarter of 2020. Dakota Range 3 would go into operation if it's on time. And that's literally within a few months of the January 1st, 2021 rate increase moratorium being lifted on NSP. And again, you know, rate cases take time. But if they came in, for example, they could come in on July 1st. Just hypothetically, they could. I'm not encouraging them to do that because we don't want to see rates go up for customers. But if they came in on July 1st, just as an example, rate case takes 6 months. I mean, a rate case could actually be determined and approved in whatever form it's approved in, with rates then being effective January 1st, 2021.
does the ADP allow the company to run this through the fuel clause so that the customers begin capturing the savings? Or through the, I'm trying to remember how the savings get captured by the customers on these PPA. It's a PPA, so that runs through the fuel clause. So does ADP have anything to do with whether they can put it through the fuel clause or not? Because I'm I think Brian's making a good point that, you know, but from my perspective, I don't really want to jeopardize a whole year potentially of customers not having the potential savings from this because the company can't run it through the fuel clause until we make a decision on it. But I'm not sure that an ADP allows them to do that anyway versus a rate case.
My guess is that if we say, yes, this is a prudent facility, and it is a PPA, then they would, I believe, begin to run it through the fuel clause. If we say this is not a prudent facility, then I don't think they would run it through the fuel clause because we've made that decision.
So then in which case then they'd have to wait? Customers would wait until a decision was made in a rate case before they would see savings.
What if we didn't give an answer, though?
That's the same thing, I'm assuming. Neither not prudent or prudent.
Well, it's
not prudent or... I mean, if we declined it, obviously they wouldn't. But if we didn't say it was prudent, yeah, that's a good question.
But are we saying if we're not answering the question, then are we saying, are we allowing them to run it through?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I don't think so, because I think that goes back to our decision a number of years ago requiring them to get approval before they start running it through the fuel clause, because that's what triggered all of that they were starting to run these projects through the fuel clause, and they hadn't been reviewed by the commission yet. So I think we required them to do that in order to get the prudence determination before they could start capturing them in rates.
So I think anything other than, I think if there's any kind of decision, it's possible. If there's any kind of decision other than saying it's prudent, any other kind of decision, I would think the company would not run it through the fuel clause.
Okay.
But, you know, one of the points, though, again, if it's operational in Q4 of 2020, let's say it's operational and in Q4 of next year, and on November 1st, North Dakota customers would start seeing the potential energy savings. But if they have a rate increase that's effective January 1st, 2021, we're talking 60 days. We're talking 2 months. And are we better served seeing how not just this, but other things, and I know we can't mix cases, but it's all integrated.
But we are effectively now discussing mixing cases.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the issues we'd have to work through. I mean, because one, I think as a commission, we've got to set clear policy for applicants as to what is expected. And I mean, we've expected them, we've ordered previously for them to do these ADPs. We had a hearing on it, and it's inherently speculative, the whole ADP process. Mm-hmm. I mean, we cannot say for certain what will happen, but we are using our discretion and after reviewing all the evidence and objective as possible, making a decision on that. If we are potentially moving home plate, how does that impact other cases would be my concern.
Well, in this particular case, I don't think we are. based on conversations I've had. I asked you, Pat, a little while back about, has this happened before? Where, or maybe it was Jerry Lean. It might have been Jerry Lean I talked to. Where the commission has, in the past, not indicated that it isn't prudent, but they haven't said it is prudent,
sure.
And they'll just address it in the next rate case. And we're within a handful of days, I think. You know, it is speculative.
Right.
Yeah, I don't
we'll
see
know this. With greater certainty 12 months from now, at the same point in time,
mm-hmm.
you always know more in the future because now you're not speculating on that 11-month
sure.
period between now and then.
One aspect that we haven't heard from that I'm a little bit concerned about is that we haven't heard from either advocacy staff or the applicant in this case. I mean, because this wasn't something that was really at all discussed at the hearing, and it seems to me we're you know, it's, and I'm not saying it's not a valid point to discuss, but also at the same time, I think it would be appropriate to, you know, to get a position on what we're discussing. What does the company think so we can consider that? Because right now we're talking amongst ourselves. What's the thought process? For all we know, the company may have a big issue with what you're saying, Commissioner Crashus. It may not. I don't know.
And that's a lead into what my feelings are on this whole thing. I mean, you make some very good points, and I agree with you that they're probably going to do a rate case sometime in 2020. Although they haven't always been like back-to-back among the states. Sometimes there's pretty long lapses, but I expect that they will. So I don't think you're wrong in anticipating that. But I don't think we want to get into a routine of putting off ADPs for the next rate case, because then it just encourages more rate cases. And in this case, we received all the testimony, we had advocacy staff, and based on the information that we have in this case, I didn't see much doubt that this merits the ADP, and I fully favor the conditions that advocacy staff advised. And, continue to, as we discussed in our previous work session, think that, I guess, based on the information in this case, this merits our advanced determination, but with those conditions. And I think we'll have great plenty of variables whenever their rate case comes. Without this one being added to the mix.
So you support the order with
conditions. The conditions.
How many times did that happen in the past where an ADP wasn't granted, but it was also not deemed, it wasn't denied because it wasn't found to be prudent, it was just... Because my understanding is that this is not the first time or this wouldn't be the first time, I should say, that hasn't occurred or has occurred.
There have been instances where the commission's order has not granted an ADP, but did not, sort of like... But they have not said it couldn't be brought forward in a rate case, for example, in the future.
I recall one, maybe two times since I've been here, and one of them was the Mankato, that Mankato project, the first Mankato project. And then I think the solar project we deemed imprudent.
Right.
And, but... Yeah, I think the Mankato, facility, we said it was just the timing was just off, that, you know, they didn't need to have it so far in advance and the energy wasn't needed till down the road. This one is a little different because the company's trying to it's being driven by that contract with Google. This one is kind of entirely focused on getting this energy for a customer that wants this kind of energy. And then, so I see it as it being a signal to from us to the company that do we want them doing that or not doing that? And then also at the same time, our advocacy staff has has said that actually they think the savings are higher than what the company has projected, the potential savings. So there seems to be a lot of positives lining up for this. A, I think it's good for the company to be seeking new big load customers, which this is. And I'd like to see them doing that in North Dakota, quite honestly, if they can get the workforce here. But we've got lots of clean energy in North Dakota and low rates. So I'd love to see some of this happening in our state, data centers. So I think it sends a signal that, yeah, this is something that is we recognize the value to the company, to the customers. We don't like the conditions, I think. Keeping our conditions on there also sends an important signal that this is how we feel it's appropriate to have this stuff done. That's consistent with how rate-making principles have been viewed in the past. We don't want to stray from that, and that it represents savings to our customers. So I don't see the need to wait and review this again in a rate case. I don't think there's that much risk, I guess, to making a decision now that overshadows the potential gains.
Pat, can you help me out with one piece and maybe, or someone else? James Heidel, in his testimony, the question was on his report, based on your evaluation of the NSP analysis, do you conclude that there will be material savings to North Dakota customers after accounting for the what does RESA stand for again? Renewable energy. RESA.
I don't have it in front of me. I don't know.
Well, his answer, of course, it's important. No, I lost it. Where did it go?
Was it in the pre-filed testimony?
Right, okay. Correct. His answer was no, the identified savings are not material, given the inherent uncertainties in any long-term forecasts, and also giving consideration for the risk of curtailment or payments by the company or commensable curtailments. But it seems then staff came up with something different in terms of, obviously, they're saying, no, there are significant energy savings. But certainly more than an answer of no, they're not material, that Heidel provided, Mr. Heidel.
I remember there was a range of energy savings. If this is the right case, I might be mixing them up, but it seemed like there was a range of energy savings that you'd have to, in your view, decide whether that was significant or not.
Well, in our order, we have advocacy staff performed its own analysis, incurred with NSP that the addition of the Dakota Range will lower costs for customers in the range of $31 million to $48 million. So I'm not, I'm not sure where what you're referring to from Heidel, Ryan.
I'm backtracking. I'm trying to find the.
So on page 24, they say, do you agree that the RISE estimated savings in North Dakota are reasonable? And he says, yes, I think the estimated savings are reasonable.
So I'm just trying to find the.
Oh, here on page 25, based on your evaluation, do you conclude that there will be material savings to North Dakota customers after accounting for the RESA? What is RESA?
That's what I'm looking, trying to look up right now.
The RECs.
I think it's the agreement with...
Retail Electric Service Agreement.
Right. That's it. Google.
Yep.
Right.
The identified savings are not material given the inherent uncertainties in any long-term forecasts and also given consideration for the risk of curtailment or payments by the company for compensable curtailments. Okay, but we're addressing that. I thought that was why we're saying if they have to...
With the conditions?
Yeah.
Pat, do you agree the conditions effectively address that? The order with conditions.
As far as I know.
There are also potential costs, including procurement of shortfall of RECs, lower wind, an increase in transmission costs. Okay, I mean, that's true. I mean, there are probably additional costs that aren't being calculated into that savings, such as transmission.
Yeah. North Dakota customers be held harmless and not pay for any costs associated with procuring RECs that NSB may have to purchase to satisfy its commitments. Mm-hmm. Those are the two conditions that we're including in the order with conditions. And of course, the company argued that it should not be. We don't need the conditions because it's likely not to happen. And then, as I recall, the question is, well, if it's likely not to happen, then why do you have an issue with including the conditions?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it gets a little bit circular there, but the conditions are in there, and I know that was discussed.
Well, I think it's important too, because when it was a news article, it was, you know, granted, you know, that's what I was reading off of, but related to the requested increase on the Minnesota side, and I thought it was largely driven by additional transmission costs. So it does seem to conflict with, I agree with how you phrased it, Zach. It seems, okay, so it's not a problem, then what does it hurt to have it in there? And yeah. I think it does need to be in there.
Yeah, and that's my understanding of what the last meeting, and I have my notes, you know, Commissioner Christman and Commissioner Fedorchek were okay with the conditions, and I have my notes, Commissioner Krosch was, you didn't say one way or the other is kind of what I had on there. So I didn't know if you were still thinking on it, of course. And I haven't had a chance to talk to Jerry, obviously, because he's been out. The conditions, the order was prepared with both conditions and non-conditions. We had the initial work session. That was the direction. Jerry prepared both. At the second work session,
so if
at least
we don't,
the consensus was is include conditions, and those are included on the
right. And I can say right now, I would not, and I think fellow commissioners are in the exact same spot with not approving an order without conditions.
Sure.
So then,
and that's my understanding.
So then there's that, and then the scenario I laid out. So
right.
The first one without conditions, to me, that's not even a consideration. Mm-hmm. But with that said, and after Are you still supportive of with conditions and not looking at the alternative? Then I guess that would, because if
well,
both
let's
of you
talk
feel
through
that way, then it's a moot point for me to be advocating or.
Right. I'd be interested in just going like, so the advantages to approving it, to giving the ADP is that A, it provides a message to the company, like I was previously saying about these kinds of deals and the conditions that we want them to consider. And it also allows us to provide a pathway for our customers to receive savings from this project. Not approving it, I'm not understanding the advantages of what would be gained if we say, we're not sure right now, but bring it back to us in a rate case. The one downside would be customers couldn't benefit from any savings, but what would we potentially gain? Would we keep open the opportunity to say it's not prudent down the road, that we don't want customers to have it part of the mix? Or what would we envision it providing us down the road in terms of advantages?
I don't know if this is, I hadn't thought this through, but I'm thinking one potential advantage would be if in between now and whenever a rate case comes in, if the whole Google thing fell apart and then there was no more push for this, we'd still have an easier option of saying no.
But I think both.
But.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
But if I mean, we can deny things later, too, if there's good reason to do so.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know that that's going to be known by the time the rate case gets here either. I just think that based on the evidence in this case, that it's ready to proceed with an order.
It almost, if I'm remembering the facts right, the case for this is almost stronger without Google, because when some of the biggest risks go away of them having additional, you know, the demand outpacing the need that's supplied by this, or the RECs, the whole REC issue and all that kind of goes away if Google evaporates.
That's what I was going to say, is my understanding is you, with or without Google, there's still cost savings.
Yeah.
This was pretty cheap energy, even as opposed to
it was 15,
some
16.
Of the other renewable additions that have been made in recent years. So
yeah, it was less than the 1850.
Well, I think, I don't know, the whole issue of transmission costs is something that we do need to get our hands around as it relates to the cost savings that are being proposed here, but I don't think this is the case to do it. I think it's too late. So I've... And I don't know how we're going to do that either. We'll just have to require the company to make some additional filings, et cetera, as we discuss these things. But I think for this case, and it's baked in. It's probably not as big of an issue on this either now that I'm thinking about it, is because it's a PPA. It's not an owned. So they're not developing transmission to this project themselves. They're just buying the power. So it's already baked into the price.
It's baked in, but every new resource addition will impact long-term transmission costs. There's no doubt about that. And that's not a matter of if it will happen. It's how much is it going to cost ratepayers?
Mm-hmm. Well, to your last question, I think it makes most sense to approve it now with conditions.
Sometimes, not just in this work session, but sometimes I think we need to be cautious that we aren't making actual meeting decisions in work sessions. And we need to provide some direction so staff doesn't have to bring 100 orders to every meeting. I am just going to say I would like to see an order that approves it with the conditions for a future meeting and make a decision on that then.
Which we have.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that the direction is to bring forward the order that's been drafted?
Yes.
To a future meeting?
Correct. Future commission.
Future commission meeting.
Right.
That's the direction.
Sooner the better.
Sooner the better.
Let's get this one done.
Okay, any other questions in all of this?
I do not.
No,
thank but you. I will say this. You brought up some good points.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad. I mean, it's extra time and stuff. I think it was a fruitful discussion.
I agree.
Appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Okay, this work session is closed. Thank you.
Thank you.